And as you can tell, I noticed, praise God, the worship went right where we were going today. It wasn't a soft, quiet time. That's not what we're going to hear today. Which is good. I'm not against that when it's time for a soft, quiet time. And I even got a title. Is this thing being recorded?
Yes.
Good. Good. Here's the title. Kingdom correct or politically correct? Or politically correct or kingdom correct? Which will you choose? And like Kung Fu, David Carradine used to say, which will you choose? Will you choose wisely? And there is a wise way to choose, and then there's one that leads to death. Listen to me now. If I hack you off, so be it. June 26th, 2015. A tragedy happened in our nation. I didn't get to talk about this because Jerry Hill was here, but I don't think this needs to be left unsaid. I think you need to know where your pastor's coming from. I think you most of all need to know where the Word of God's coming from. Because my opinion means little or nothing. But there's all kinds of weird stuff, coincidences that have been going on since that day. I was highly offended when the White House of the United States becomes a rainbow flag. I was highly offended. I was highly offended that the Supreme Court of the United States could create laws. That's not what they were put there for. But we live in a fallen society. We live in a suck-it-up nation. We live in a, if it feels good, do it. If we live in a, please don't offend anyone. Well, I'm offended. I'm offended. God's offended. God's offended. And I want to biblically, I don't want to just spout out, this is what Marky thinks, but I thought, isn't it amazing that this rainbow flag, which is perversion of the rainbow, because the gay flag, the homosexual flag, is six colors, and the God's flag, God's rainbow, is seven colors. Does that tell you anything? That's man's number right there. Man's number leads to death. Man's number leads to hell. I'm deeply offended that that flag is being waved over our nation. And, okay, slavery was wrong. Slavery was wrong. But to say, you must take the Confederate battle flag down, but we're going to wave the homosexual perversion flag over our nation, something is wrong. Something is wrong. And something about the Confederate flag is, it represents state rights. Listen, that's what the whole war was over, states' rights. Yes, the South did wrong. Yes, the South had slaves, but guess what? 50, 60 million babies have been murdered in our nation under the banner of the Supreme Court. The ball got dropped in 62. God, the Supreme Court took prayer out of schools. Look at our schools. They're completely falling apart. Murders in schools. Look at the abortion rate. Well, I don't know what it is now. I've lost, 60 million. And now this perversion. I'm pissed.
Come on.
Sorry, that's not correct. But I am very upset. Very upset. I was in depression for a couple of days. If it hadn't have been for Jerry Hill being here those 2 days, I was grieved in my spirit. I just felt sick at my stomach. I felt sick at my stomach this morning before I brought this to you because I felt You know, the first time you got an interpretation of tongues, you kind of felt sick at your stomach, like you was going to vomit if you didn't bring it out. That's what I feel like this morning. There's something churning. I want this to go on the internet. I want to, and you know, I'm not going to bow anymore to this God of this world. Listen, I'm going to marry who I want to marry. If I want to marry somebody out on the street that I don't even know, that's fine. I will not marry homosexuals.
Come on.
It ain't going to happen in this church. And I want you to know something. God loves them. Praise God. Praise God, God loves homosexuals. Yes, He does. God loved Charles Manson. God loves child molesters. God loves everyone. But there are certain sins that lead to death. And there are certain sins that lead to a nation going down the toilet. Sorry, that's just the way it is. Look back in history. Look at the Greek Empire. Look at the Roman Empire. Great nations. The sun never set on their kingdom. They went away. So, Romans 13:11, and do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. The church has been lulled to sleep and has been serving Pharaoh and not its source. Faith Harvest source is not Pharaoh. Faith Harvest source is not the United States government. It is not. If they take away our tax-exempt status, so be it. But it's not our source. He can't break us. He can't take us. He cannot take us out of the race. The only thing that'll do that is fear. Think. I want you to think a minute. See, I wasn't here when World War II happened. There's probably nobody here anymore. But I remember my dad, and I remember seeing all the commentaries. You know, the war was brewing. Man, people knew that people were being in death camps in Germany. It was known. That was not something that the upper people did not know. When the Pearl Harbor attack happened, help me with the date, December 7th, 1941. When that happened, they was over there in Hawaii. They'd been out drinking and partying. They sleeping late on Sunday morning, and they hit them right when they thought people will be in church or people will be sleeping it off. And they hit us dead asleep. They even seen it coming in on the radar and said, oh, this is some kind of weather thing or something. And they allowed these Japanese Army or Air Force and Navy to come in and decimate our Pacific Fleet. Now, America could have went, well, you know what? We're just going to let this go. And maybe they'll take that as we love them and we really bless you. In spite of what you did, we're going to bless you. It's not what happened, is it? What did the people do? They woke up. And was it, see, I'll get his name wrong, but was it like Admiral Yamamoto or, no, I can't remember his name, but they said, oh, we have attained a great victory. And this admiral said, I fear that we have woken a sleeping giant. And the whole nation got behind the World War II effort. The women went to work in arms plants, building airplanes and tanks, and like you in the mud. They didn't want to do that. You know, that isn't what they wanted to do. They'd rather stay at home and taking care of their families, but they knew that the destiny of a nation hung in the balance. And see, I liken this bomb as like this proclamation by the Supreme Court. We've known that things have been deteriorating in our nation for ever since I've been a believer. I've known that, and I had a big part in a lot of it, you know. But the thing is this, if this does not wake up the church, if this does not cause us to put down our differences and come together as one, we ain't going to be around much. We're going to be controlled. And I know some of y'all are thinking, this guy is out of his mind. I'm telling you, I am telling you, the very next thing that'll be legal will be having sex with children. Now, I'm telling you, it's ultimately, it's on the way. It's been in existence for 20 years. It's called NAMBLA, North American Boy Love Association. Sex before 8 or it's too late's their motto. Yeah. They are a tax-exempt outfit advocating child molestation and feeling like you're depriving children if you don't allow it. So, oh, that's just fringe, man. That could, come on, son, come on. They're marrying they're marrying two men, they're marrying two women. Think about how perverse that is. Think about how perverse that is and messed up that is. I'm not painting you a hopeless picture here. We must rise. We must rise up. The church of Jesus Christ will shine like it's never shined. Like you said, after the Civil War, the worst thing that ever happened to this nation, brother against brother, father against son, families murdering each other on the battlefield. You can't even wrap your head around that happening in America. But it did. And it took a long time to heal those wounds. But praise the Lord. God mercifully sent a move of God. There was... Lord Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We're not to worry about these things that are going on. We're not to worry, we're not to stress, we're not to live in the news media, but we're to be aware. And if we seek first God's kingdom, if we seek first revival in our nation, if we pray for these people, if we pray for our government, you know, maybe God will relent. Maybe we won't have to go through what I fear is coming quickly. 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 And the thing that has the greatest hold on our nation is mammon. And the thing God will do to pull down this nation quicker than anything is to destroy our financial base. So we better get praying. We better get praying. You better get praying. How am I going to multiply? How's God going to multiply food in my kitchen? How's God going to feed a whole church when we don't have anything? Oh, well, store it up. No, that's not it. God will multiply. God will do great things. And I know I'm going here to here to here. But it's happening, man. It's happening. It's happening. When I first got born again, man, you know all I could think about, Jesus coming, Jesus coming, Jesus coming, Jesus coming. Money system's on its way, but it's all right, all right, all right. Dun, 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 dun. I wish I could play that right now. Peace is going to come someday, but it's all right, all right, Money system's on its way, but it's all right, all right, all right. Dun, dun. Yeah, he was singing. He was singing about the money system. He was singing about the chips that they're already. I'm not talking about Coke and chips. I'm talking about your credit card's chips. I'm talking about it's all been set up. All the armies of the world are gathering around Israel. Everything's happening that I thought Jesus was coming immediately when I got born again. And things have escalated, man. So I was riding my bike yesterday and I had it cranking. And it was a militant song, man. It was militant. And I thought, Jesus, yes! Yes, God, all this stuff that's happening points to your soon return. Why am I crying, man? Why am I depressed? Man, I need to be about the battle. I need to get all the people into the kingdom I can because you are coming, Jesus. You are coming. But I just, you know, and please, 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 please don't mishear me or misunderstand me. I am not against homosexuals. I am not. But let's face it. If a homosexual does not repent and relent, you know what? They're going to burn. Now, is it unkind for me to tell them that? Or is it unkind for me to not say that? Would it be kind for me to go, I now pronounce you man and man? Y'all accept them, embrace them? You can't do that. What light, you know, what does light have to do with darkness? What fellowship is there there? Praise God. God is delivering. Man, and you know, people go, well, God's no respecter of sin, and God's no, and I hear this all the time, and I'd say, what Bible have you been reading, man? What Bible have you been reading? Yes, any sin will send you to hell, but there are sins that will destroy a nation. There are sins that causes God's judgment to swiftly come down. Okay. I'm going to address one that you're going to hear a lot. Okay? Judge not that you be not judged. Don't judge, brother. Don't judge, sister. I know my Bible. Don't judge. Jesus said, don't judge. That's all he had to say. That's all I got to say about that, right? He said, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, listen. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In other words, get the sin out of your life, Christian. Get the sin out of your life, man. If you're in pornography, say, never, never, never again will I look at this. Never I make a vow to God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If I'm fornicating, I will never fornicate again in Jesus' name. Get the speck out of your eye. Get the sexual sin out of your life. And then you can be pure and free to minister the gospel. But if they look at you and go, hypocrite, you stinking hypocrite. We can't be hypocrites no more. We never could, really. But the dividing line is coming, man. The divide. There's going to be a sword that's just going to split the church right in half. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because, Justin, I want to know who's on my side when I go to battle. I don't want to get in the heat of battle and go, oh, I didn't know you were going to drop me in. Right. I thought we were on the same team. So we just need to choose. What side are you on? Okay. Yeah, praise the Lord. What was that? Stomping too. Man, if you can stomp loud enough to make concrete shake. So, and again, you're going to be hit with this, judged, and you will not be judged. You will be hit with this if you stand your ground. I promise. But listen to this. If Jesus said not to judge, go down just a few verses. I want y'all to read this. Matthew 7, starting at verse 15. I want you to read just right after that. I want you to read it. Did y'all hear, get my message, bring your Bibles today? I want y'all to bring your Bibles every week. I'm talking a hard copy. I want you to bring them every day. Yes, it's on your phone. Yes, it's on my iPad, but it's a witness when you walk out your door, the Word of God. Just hold it up like this and do a dance around your car. Yes, this is the Word of God, and I believe it, and I stand on it. Really? You got your phone there thinking, well, you know, praise the Lord. Beware, this is Jesus, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. And it's cut down and it's thrown into the fire. So Jesus said, I want you to judge false prophets. I want you to judge lies. Now, isn't that what he said? You judge. Isn't that what he said? Yeah. You'll know them by their fruits. Hey, I'm not a fruit. I've heard that too. You're not a fruit inspector, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you are. If you read the Word of God, you are a fruit inspector. And that's not to become legalistic, and that's not, oh, get my heart, man. Get my heart, man. These people are tormented. These people, they're dying to be free. Their suicide rate is higher than anybody else on the planet. It's not a happy, gay life. And you go, well, because they've been persecuted. No, not anymore. It's still the same. See? Well, I think I'm about finished. Y'all probably glad. I want you to know my heart. I want you to know my heart. I saw a post from a young lady on Facebook, which I really distance myself a lot from it. So if I don't apply to your birthday or anything, don't get offended. I get on there to use it as a tool. But God caught my eye, and there was this little girl that used to be in youth group. And I saw a homeless. She's been in prison. Been caught selling drugs, shooting heroin. This little girl who once was singing praises around a maple tree in my front yard, this little girl that had the destiny of a queen and still does, but lost in America. And I'm not picking out homosexuality. It's a sin. It's a sin that'll lead to death. It's an abomination. But you know, living with your boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, that's fornication. And I tell them all the time at food pantry, it's not like I'm very kind when I do it. But I say, you know, what the Bible says about that, and that's the problem with the church. And I'm not speaking to y'all because I think you're scholars, but the church believers do not know what they believe. And when they're confronted by false prophets, they've got nothing to say because they're like, oh, maybe I'm wrong. You don't know what you believe. You got to know what you believe about homosexuality. It's a sin. You got to know what you believe about drugs and pharmakeia and sorcery It's a sin. It'll kill you. It'll wrap you up. It'll crush you. We ain't talking about a little pot anymore, guys. We're talking needles. Yeah. We're talking hard. You see, the devil started out. The devil started out. I don't know where you from, Chuck, originally. Michigan? Ohio? Can I just talk for a minute? It's progressive. Sin is progressive. Sin starts out easy and promises you everything, and it gets a hold of you, and it nails you down, and it ties you down, and pretty soon you are helplessly, hopelessly lost and addicted. 1970. My summer out of school, my junior year. Let me rephrase this. Nobody I knew smoked pot. Okay? And then hanging out with some older people, this guy's neighbors was growing pot plants, which the cops probably wouldn't even known what a pot plant was, you know, but I had these friends, and they said, oh, let's go steal these pot plants and try it. So, of course, we took them and put them in a electric skillet and cured them just like you're supposed to. And I remember it took several times, but I finally got high. Now, I'm not bragging about that, but I got high. And I started, and previous to that, 1969, I went to see a movie at the cinemas one Sunday afternoon. My dad dropped me off to watch it. Easy Rider. It changed my whole perception of drugs. It's like bad, evil rednecks hate drugs. Good, peaceful people who love Jesus. Well, probably not that. Peaceful people, you know, they like drugs. And so that made an impression. And so when I started getting high, and I started, you know, when I got drunk a lot before that, I was a teenage alcoholic, really. And as alcohol is bad, it makes you do crazy things. You don't think about going 100 miles an hour and a 25 mile an hour. You don't think about that kind of stuff. You don't think about killing people until it's too late. But with pot, it was different because you started listening to music of other people that were doing drugs. You'd lay down between the speakers and you'd hear all this hidden, all these little hidden messages in there, and it started changing the whole way you thought about everything. And it truly was, for me, I grew up in church. I prayed a prayer when I was 15 years old to accept Jesus, and now all of a sudden I'm playing with yoga. What? Y'all, you say, well, I didn't do that. Well, you praise God, you smart. But I was like, you know, I come to the end of, like, alcohol wasn't doing it for me anymore. And, you know, drugs weren't really doing it for me anymore. So I wanted something spiritual. So I thought, well, Christianity didn't work for me. So I started playing around with Eastern mysticism. And by God's grace, He showed me what it was. It was just stupid. It was completely stupid. Praise God. But God wants you to know who you are. God wants you to know who He is. And God wants you to be able to intelligently communicate with somebody when they throw some goofy, what do you call it? Just a buzzword, it's going all around. It's okay, here's one. And then I'm going to shut up and read you my last verse. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but the reason God judged and destroyed Sodom, have y'all heard this? This is according to the homosexual agenda. The reason Sodom was destroyed was because they were inhospitable to strangers. That's right. They didn't take strangers in, so God in his wrath wiped out a whole city because they weren't hospitable. And that's the whole reason that Sodom was destroyed. Do y'all know that story? Do y'all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? A couple of angels came to check out Sodom and Gomorrah and see if it was true, the rumors. Of course, God already knew, but God is just, and God won't do anything without checking it out, right? So he sent two angels, and so they're going to sleep in the city square. And Lot's still got just a little bit of righteousness left in him. He's like the church that's got the world all around him and in him. But it's like, no, wait a minute. I know what goes on in the square at night. Perverse orgies and rapes and homosexual rapes and heterosexual rapes. All this stuff goes on. And he recognized they were men of God. So he said, no, come, stay. Stay in my house. No. You come stay in my house. Well, the Sodomites seen these angels, and they was probably some pretty good. If you're an angel, you're probably a pretty nice-looking person, you know. And they heard this. It wasn't, I can't knock like that. It was a pounding at the door. Hey, Lot, send those men out that are visiting you. Send them out so we can know them and have sex with them. I'm not making this up. It's just what it says. Hey, we want to have sex with these angels. Send them out. Oh, no, you mustn't do this thing. You must not do this horrible thing. Okay, I tell you what. How about I send my daughters out and you can have your way with them till morning? Who do you think you are coming into our city and telling us how to live and what's moral and what's immoral? Who do you think you are telling us that homosexuality is wrong? Who do you think you are to tell us that bestiality is wrong? Who are you to tell me we can't have sex with children? Who are you? They were blind as bats. They went to grab Lot and have their way with him and bust into the house, and these angels went, and they were struck blind. And they ran right off. No, they were feeling around trying to get their way in the door even after they lost their eyesight. That's the kind of perversion that this society had reached. And God said, get them out of there and get them out of there quick. I'm sending my judgment. I'm sending my fire. So come out from among them, church. Come out from among them, people. We got to come out from among them because judgment will come unless we see this third great awakening. So, that's all I got to say about that. Y'all open your Bibles to Proverbs. I'd like to leave you with some hope. I didn't want to paint a picture of despair here. I just want to paint a picture of where we're at in history, where we're at in the timeline of what's going on. We are in desperate times. We're in desperate times. And when you're in desperate times, you have to take desperate action. And that's all that's required, you know. And I praise God. The Lord has showed me several years ago to try to get the pastors together in Greenville and just pray once a week for revival. Pray for a move of God, and it was always, you know, it just wasn't. And I left a message with the pastor at the Christian church, and I didn't get to talk to him yet, but he left me a voicemail saying, oh, gosh, he said, that's God. He said, we need to do that. We need to do that. He basically was saying how desperate the times were. I'm like, oh, God, you're waking. You're taking what the enemy is meant for evil, and if we'll just follow his leading, we're going to see a great move of God. But I want you to know, you're in desperate times. The bombs have been dropped. The ships have been sunk. It's time. It's time. Yes, the harvest is ripe. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I could get the birds to come in here and sing it for you, but I won't. They left out a bunch. Y'all got it? Verse 1. Let this go down in your spirit. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Let's stand up. We can't blame our mom and dad's generation for what's happened. I could maybe blame them for when Roe v. Wade happened. I could maybe blame them for when prayer was taken out of schools, but I cannot blame them for what's happened. This is my watch. Yeah. And it said a time to speak, a time to be silent. It's not time to be silent anymore. It's not time to be silent anymore. And it said a time for peace and a time for war. It's a time for war. It's a time for war. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. We don't war against flesh and blood. We don't war against people that are trapped in sin. We don't war against people that are addicted to drugs. We don't war against people that are perverse. Our warfare is with the one that captured them. The one that captured them. The one that has the chains around them. And we choose to break those chains in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So I think the next day or that very day when Pearl Harbor was taken out, they made a declaration of war. They declared war on Japan. We need to declare war on the enemy and what he's trying to do to this nation, one nation under God. So if you can come into agreement with this, Holy Spirit, lead us what to pray. It's a proclamation. It's a divine proclamation. And if you don't agree with it, don't say it. If you're not willing to go into battle, don't say it. Lord Jesus, I love you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that you reached down when I was a sinner, when I was lost. I had addictions in my life. And I was impure in thought, word, and deed. But I thank you, Jesus, that you forgave me, you washed me in your blood, and you put love in my heart for you, for people, for lost people. I declare and I decree I love people. I love sinners. I love homosexuals. I love drug addicts. I love atheists. God, there's nobody I don't love. Because you love everybody. Lord Jesus, I declare and I decree that I believe the Bible, the Holy Word of God, every word written, every word written, every jot, every tittle, I believe. And by your grace, Lord, I will live that. No longer, Jesus, will I be a man pleaser. No longer, Jesus, will I consider being politically correct an option. It's not. I'm kingdom of God correct. And that's all that matters. Use me, Jesus. You know, Jesus, I don't want to be persecuted. You didn't. You wept and sweat blood because you knew what was ahead. But for the joy that was before you and the joy that's before me, I will follow you. I will say what you want me to say. I will do what you want me to do. Today, I declare war on everything that comes between you and I, Lord. I declare and I decree that I will love not this world. For anyone that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And I love you, Father. Lord Jesus, we pray for an awakening in America, an awakening in Faith Harvest. First of all, an awakening in me, revival in my spirit. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though others won't go, though others won't go, still I will follow. Though others won't go, still I will follow. Though others won't go, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you decided to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. Well, to seal this, I'm believing to seal this. When I say I want you to come up here and kneel at this altar, because you know what? We are weak, but He is strong. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. As long as we realize that our dependence is on Him, all our dependence. But Jesus, remember? The night before He was taken away to be beaten, crucified, He said He was weeping in the garden and sweating great drops of blood. And He said, Father, if You can take this cup away from me, Lord, and He could have, I really don't want to bear this, but... And then he came to the revelation, He had to speak it. Father, not Your will, not my will, but Your will be done, Jesus, Father. And He endured the beatings. He endured the cross. He endured the mocking. Not only that, He did it victoriously, and every word that came out of His mouth was a kind word, blessing those who persecuted Him. And if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you really need to. But there were several accounts, and one of them, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was being burned at the stake for his faith in Jesus, for his faith that the Word of God and being born again and the fundamental things we take for granted. He was being burned at the stake by the church. And they were getting ready to tie Him to the stake. And He said, please, don't tie me so I can raise my hands and praise the Lord. I promise I will not run off. I will not jump out of this fire. It said, they set that thing on fire and He raised His hands up and He started praising the Lord. And He sang praises to the Lord as flesh and fat dripped off His fingers. So that's God's grace. So knowing that God will give us grace to do whatever's before us. And grace to pray in faith for this awakening, to pray in faith for what God's promised He would do if we would call out to Him. So I'm believing if you'll just come up to this altar, there's going to be an anointing come on you. You've already got an anointing, but this stronger anointing to be strong, to be bold, to not apologize for who you are. Oh, Jesus, we surrender, Jesus. We surrender, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.